We have a revolution going on in the body of Christ. Okay, George Barna, thank you for being with us on this program.
Thank you.
And do something for us.
Yeah.
All the people that were traumatized in the earlier segment just a minute ago, you know, they're still watching, so they're kind of wanting to see what you're going to say now. And revolution is
we're playing
is,
top this, right?
Yeah. Can you top this?
Here we go.
Yeah. We have this book, George Barna's Revolution, and brand new book. What is this book about, and what is the revolution that you're talking about?
Well, essentially, it's all about the fact that in this country, we now have millions and millions of people who want to get really close to God. They want God to be number one in their life, the top priority in their life. And in order to do that, they've discovered that one of the things that may be keeping them from that is being part of a local church. And so they've come upon a whole new way.
Keeping them apart from that.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Absolutely,
yes.
Keeping them from being closer to God.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, now, just let me just help you with something. This is not Larry King Live, okay? this is Christian television.
You told me ratings, okay? You know, I'm doing what I can here.
Okay, George Barna, the wonderful guy that goes out and does all the Christian research and does all of that. You just said if you want to be close to God, you don't go to church. What do you mean by that?
Well, what we found is that there are millions of individuals in this country who have wanted more of God in their life. And really the phrase that sticks in my mind from all of our research with these folks is they don't want to go to church. They want to be the church.
Right.
Wow.
And so their whole issue was they tried to get more and more involved and see transformation happening. That's the key to the whole process, mm-hmm. is being transformed to become more Christ-like,
right.
and in turn then to transform the world around us. And what they discovered is that there were things that they needed to have happen in their life, things they wanted to be able to do that just couldn't take place through their local church.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately what they realized is, you know what, when I die, I can't stand before a holy and righteous God and say, oh, well, I didn't do that. It's my church's fault.
Right.
It's their responsibility. Yeah. And they've taken full responsibility now for their spiritual life. And they've said, whatever it's going to take to get more of God in my life, mm-hmm. and to be the person that God made me to be, I'm going to do that very thing. If it's part of the local church, great. If it's not, I'm still going to be part of God's church at large, but I may have to do it through a different environment and a different set of relationships.
Okay, millions of believers have moved beyond the established church. Okay, that's what it says on the back of your book.
I'm with you. I wrote it. I bought
okay.
it. Yeah.
Millions of believers have moved beyond the established church and chosen to be the church instead. You're a researcher. You're not making this stuff up. This book comes from research. Is that correct?
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this has existed for a while. I didn't even realize it. It's growing rapidly as far as we can tell. Over the last couple of years now, we've been doing research related specifically to this. But it really was born out of a desire on my part to do research to find out whose lives are being transformed by God. And as we went out there to try to discover that and to talk to these people about what was your experience, how did it work, what's taken place as a result of that, what we found is that a majority of the people whose lives were being radically changed by God were having that experience outside the boundaries and the activities of the local church.
Wow.
And there's a pattern that we discovered from interviewing all these people. The normal pattern is that they will go back to the local church and they'll get excited. They'll tell the leaders in the church, this is what's going on in my life. We've got to figure out how to incorporate this in our church. And leaders of the church, in the vast majority of the cases, said, you know, time out. I'm really happy for you, but we know what we're doing.
Right.
We're professionals at this. We've got a plan. We've got a budget. We've got staff. We've got buildings. We've got all the stuff. And so I'm happy that that happened for you. But you know what? The best thing for you to do is get plugged into what we're doing here at the church.
Right.
And so the people tried to do that. It didn't work. They got frustrated. They dropped out. But they couldn't stay away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they realized, you know what? It's up to me to figure out, how am I going to be a true child of the kingdom? How am I going to be a person whose every waking moment is devoted to thinking thoughts of God, to doing acts of God, to speaking things that glorify God? I have to figure out how that's going to work. And they've worked hard at this.
So, you know what's the most interesting thing about this book, and again, Revolution is the book, is research by renowned pollster George Barna points to a hidden revolution. You didn't go out to write a book called revolution. You found a revolution, and this is the research. Is that reverse of you just saying, hey, I think I need to get something going on, and I need to think up something to do. You go out there, find the people that have a passion for God, and realize, the system's broke.
I was looking for something different. Because I wanted to figure out how are churches doing great stuff in people's lives to facilitate that kind of life transformation
right.
that God wants to bring about. And what I found was completely different. The churches aren't doing that. Now, not in all cases. I mean, there are some great churches that are doing terrific things.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, what these people are going through is completely outside the normal boundaries. But what's fascinating is when you study their process, it so resembles what happened in the early church. You can't help but think, hey, you know what? There's no accident here.
Okay.
God's bringing his people back.
Okay, so in case there's a whole swath of people that were watching Tammy Faye and they're kind of digging the controversy, but there's like a whole bunch of old people that just tuned off because of the heresy that they just heard.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I needed that.
Yeah.
Here's the key statement. Millions of believers have moved beyond the established church and chosen to be the church instead. Okay, that's a big time statement. Just delve into that little phrase right there and kind of explain what that means. Give me an example of what that means.
Well, for instance, one of the things I talk about in the book is in studying these folks, we found that there are seven, we call them the seven passions of a revolutionary, seven particular dimensions of their faith that they are very much attuned to and always trying to balance and blend together. What they're seeking is an integrated faith. If you look at most people in this country, and again, this is coming from our research, not my opinion, but if you look at most people in this country who call themselves Christians, what you find is that they compartmentalize their faith. Sunday morning from 11 to 12:15, they're a Christian.
Okay.
Sunday morning from 12:30 until 3 in the afternoon, they're not. You know, they're doing other stuff that may not honor God. I mean, who knows? But the issue here is these people are saying, I've got to figure out with these seven passions, how do I make them so evident that they actually define who I am? It's not just stuff that I add on to who I really am. It is who I really am. What are the seven passions? The simple things, stuff that comes right out of Scripture, nothing new here. They're going back to the original stuff. So it's having intimate worship with God on a regular basis, not one day a week, 1 hour a week, 24/7 worship, trying to figure out what does that look like? How do I do that? Things like having spiritual conversations with everybody they talk to.
Right.
Instead of having an evangelistic pitch, the idea is God is so much a part of everything that I do and see and think, I can't not talk about God.
Right.
Things like, having intentional spiritual growth activities that they're engaged in. Not waiting for somebody to come and tell them this is what you need to know, but trying to figure out scripturally, where do I need to go to advance in my knowledge and my relationship with God? Things like investing their resources for the kingdom. Not just giving 10% to some organization, but really taking seriously the fact that they are portfolio managers for the kingdom of God. They own nothing.
Okay, a couple of things. I want you to address film,
sure.
You know, and the thought of communications in general, but film specifically. I want to get into that in a minute. But one question. Do you have a single pastor friend? Okay.
Anymore?
Yeah, anymore. I mean, a single one.
I do, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
This has been really interesting. The book came out a few weeks back, and for the last 4 or 5 months now, I've been going around the country talking with pastors about this because I want them to get it.
Right.
And I found that there are several different reactions that happen. There are some pastors who don't even want to know about it. So, yeah, don't bother me with that stuff.
Yeah.
There are some pastors who hear it and they say, well, you know, I don't know why I don't feel comfortable with it. It sounds like it could be okay. I'm just going to wait and see what happens.
Right.
Then you've got the individuals who hear this and, you know, they're like the Pharisees covering their ears. You know, so I don't want to, nope, heresy, lunatic, get the man out of here, you know. Yeah, and so they think now that, you know, I'm Satan's best friend. So there are some pastors, you know, who don't want to hear about this.
I've been called that before.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it's okay. A growing club, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good, Satan's best friend.
Good to be there, buddy.
Good.
And then there's another group of pastors that encourage me so much because they hear this and they say, you know what, that's not what I've been doing, but I should be.
Yeah.
Because the kind of people that you're describing here, that's exactly what we've wanted to produce from our ministry. And so if they're not coming out of my church, I need to understand these people. I need to come alongside these people. I need to bless these people however I can. And maybe that means they won't be members of my church. But you know what? We're all members of the kingdom of God. And when I stand before God, he's not going to say, how big was your turf? You know, what he's going to say is, what did you do to bless my people?
When you just did this, you said, these people. Give me an example of these people that you're talking about. Like, you know, I've read enough of the book to know what you're talking about. So explain to someone, if all of a sudden somebody now gets, okay, I want to listen to the rest of this now. What is a these people? It's like the story in the very beginning of the book with the two guys that are, they have their basic devotions on the golf course and they do the work of the kingdom, but they just don't attend church. So what are you talking about when you say these people?
There's one guy who gets it and one guy who doesn't.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The whole idea here is, number one, you know, the whole biblical passage about where is your treasure, you know, because that's really where your heart is. So if your treasure is God, what that means is you're reorienting your life so that everything you do, whether it's your job, your relationships, where you choose to live, how you utilize your money, the kind of media that you absorb into your life, the language you use, everything is all about God and his kingdom. Mm. So these are people who are saying it's God first in my life. And then they're saying, so I've got to reorient things so that every choice I make reflects the fact that God is first in my life.
Okay, now let me interject something.
Yeah.
Pastors need this book more than anybody, because if those types of people are not sitting in their pews, how many pastors would you say, the Christian that he just described, if you ask, you know, Bishop Blake, or if you ask, you know, somebody and say, how many of those types of people do you see sitting out there? You know, they'd go, I got about 9, you know, out of 5,000, you know.
Four in my family.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, for reals. I mean, so this is like, the revolution is not a book of your opinion about what's going on. This was born out of research, and you've kind of been doing that for like a long time.
Yeah, more than 2 decades. And the beauty of it is, you know, when you study these people, you understand these folks are some of the most persecuted Christians in America.
Okay, now that's a good point.
Because they just don't go to church.
Yes, and what we discovered from talking with them is they can't talk about the fact that they don't go to church.
Wow.
Because imagine the conversation.
Yeah.
You come up to one of your friends, you say, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul. My life is dedicated to him. I want to serve him. I'm part of the kingdom. Everything about me.
Yeah. I always ask people.
We ask him. The first time we interviewed George, we said, what church do you go to?
I home church.
And he put the camera on me. He goes, I don't really go to church. And we, you know,
we have church right here.
You go to our church. You know, that was awkward.
I think the problem is what's being preached from the pulpit.
Yeah.
They're not motivated to be kingdom-minded all the time, every day. When we sit in this church, we are filled with purpose and destiny, kingdom-mind, and it sends you out, you know,
to conquer the world.
World.
You know, our pastor says it this way, Gary Zamora. He says, right from this location, every Sunday and Wednesday, he says that the original intention of God was for man to do what? Have dominion and to multiply. So if we're not inside of a dynamic, and if we're not living out a dynamic that intends, and the ultimate goal is to have rulership over the very thing that you're involved in, the kingdom of entertainment, the kingdom of communications, the kingdom of, and if you're not striving to basically, you know, the greatest cartoon that ever has been made to illustrate the point of what we know is Pinky and the Brain. You know, the smart mouse and the dumb mouse is produced by Steven Spielberg. I mean, it's one of the greatest. You know, the little mouse is always wanting to take over the world, and he's about to, but his little friend just goofs up, you know, and just screws it up for him all the time, you know. And so, anyway, the Revolution by George Barna is really a manual that if the pastor is ducking the head in the sand, you know, doing the, you know, la 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 la, you know, then he just doesn't want to understand that this is really a resource for him, not against him.
Yeah, and really what we're trying to do is we're not saying the local church is bad.
No.
Because we also found that there are a lot of revolutionaries who are
right.
in a local church. They've chosen to stay there. They're getting what they need to grow,
right.
or they're trying to change it significantly so that other people can grow. So this is not an anti-church book.
Right.
It's a pro-kingdom book.
Right.
Where what we're trying to do is figure out how do you become the person that Christ put you on earth to be.
Right.
And, you know, what's probably groaning, what I have come to observe, sorry, I hit my mic, just going around the country and stuff, what's building churches right now is a very mediocre message of, is that okay?
Yeah, totally.
Very, make everybody.
He said the church was
make,
dead.
Make everybody. Just making everybody feel very comfortable to come on into church. And I think that's great. But people want something. They're not there for a mediocre message.
Yeah.
You know, and God, I believe, is just weeding out, and people can go and have their problems. Come to church and go home and have your problem. You know, and suffer and do your thing. But then there is a group of people, and there is a generation
Amen.
That is saying, you know what? I'm changing things in my life. I'm changing things, you know, concerning everyone around me, and I am going to go this way. And they don't want a mediocre message.
You know
they
what I
want
heard?
Life in Christ.
I heard something that's kind of interesting. There are two types of Christians. Those going away from Satan and those going to God. And, you know, it's almost like there's that works out. You almost like you can go into a church and understand whether they're a church that's going away from Satan. So their attention is back here.
Right.
You know, one thing I do, letting go of those things, I press forward. It's like the kingdom is made up of people that were inside of a system that the prevailing message from the pulpit didn't give them the answer that they needed.
Right.
So they had to bypass church and go directly to God for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah,
that's
a huge part of it. You know, when you read through Scripture, one of the things that you discover is that God gives us an incredible amount of information about the appropriate message.
Right.
But he gives us almost no information about the appropriate methodology.
Right.
Right.
Why? Because he doesn't care about the structures we build.
Right.
He cares
right.
about our hearts.
Yes.
And so that's what he's looking at. If your heart is wholeheartedly with him
yes.
and you don't wind up in a building at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning,
right.
that doesn't matter to him.
Right.
But if you're in the building every week and you get the attendance pin, but then you don't live in a way that you're changing the world by that lifestyle, that doesn't impress him.
I completely
okay.
agree with that.
What percentage would you say, since you're a pollster and you kind of know statistics, you just made a statement that said, if your heart is after God, doesn't matter if you go to church, okay? There could be a large percentage of people going, that kid doesn't even know what he's talking about. You know, never forget.
Submitting.
Never,
to the,
the. Don't forsake the assembly of the. Da, 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 da. Okay. Hang on.
Let me deal with that.
Okay.
Deal with that.
Please.
Deal with all that.
It was kind of. It wasn't my major point, but go ahead and deal with that.
Deal with that.
Oh, because,
let me just answer my. Let me ask my question so I don't.
What am I doing? Why don't I
the point was, you just said that. What percentage of people would go he just said, or what percentage would go right on, man? You know, I mean, do you know?
Well, yeah, in terms of how many people would say that's absolutely right, it's a heart issue more
yeah.
than anything else. We're probably looking at something right now on the order of 15 to 20%.
Wow.
And then if you look at the other end of the continuum, you know, who are the people saying, you know, this guy's a lunatic, a heretic,
right,
you know,
right,
get
right.
him off, you're probably looking at closer to 50 to 60%.
Okay.
And then you got the rest in there who don't know what to make of any of this.
Okay, I'm going to get some very specific things, but go ahead and answer the
Hebrews 10:25 passage that
yeah.
you were alluding to. You know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, is a fascinating one, because I've found that when pastors have a problem with this whole revolution that's taken place, that's the one verse that almost every single one of them
sure.
brings up. But I went back, you know.
I was hearing them say it.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
You must have the earpiece in. You know, I don't have that, you know. But when you go back and look at Scripture, it doesn't say what they keep telling me it says. What it says is, because you believers encourage each other, be together, grow together. But it doesn't say, and you must do that in the worship service at the place Sunday morning at 11
right.
o'clock.
Got it.
What it says is, be part of the community of faith. Be one of the believers who's loving each other, who's encouraging, who's supporting, who's holding each other accountable. You know, and when you put it in the context of that passage, basically it's saying, you know, don't run away from the world. Be part of the world, but be together so that you can influence the world.
Okay, so you're a big Bob Briner fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Big time.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to have a lunch with him one time. It was very impactful. Spiritual transitions in the making. Okay? That's one of the sections in the book. There are trends that you're talking about, and this is basically from your research. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let me... is there seven of them? Yeah. There's seven trends. Let me just read them real quick. The changing of the guard, the rise of a new view of life, dismissing the irrelevant. That's a great one. Impact on technology, which is communications and big screens and videos and movies and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Are we okay since we're making movies?
This is a good thing.
Okay, good.
And I'll tell you why. Yeah.
Okay, why?
Well, we did a piece of research several years ago before we even found the revolution was happening to try to figure out what is it that causes people to be what they become, what makes them think what they think, which then in turn makes them do what they do. And what we discovered is that there are different entities that have different levels of influence on people. There are seven different elements that have the greatest amount of influence on how we think and therefore behave. Those are movies, music, television, books, the internet, family, and public policy or law.
Wow.
When you look at those seven things together, and it's very difficult to research this, so this is an estimate, but I think it's pretty good. We estimate that those seven things together have about 60 to 70% of the influence on what Americans today think and do.
Wow.
There's then a second echelon of influence entities, things like schools and friends and newspapers, magazines, etc., radio. You put all of those different entities, there's about a dozen of them together, they have somewhere on the order of about 20% of the influence on what we think and do. Then there's at the bottom of the continuum 30 or 40 different entities that we were able to identify that have influence on people's lives. But when you put all of those 30 or 40 together, together they only have about 10% of the impact, and that's where we find the local church.
Oh my God.
In that bottom echelon, which was what perturbed me so much and put me onto this research of, well, then let's find out who's being transformed and how.
Wow.
And that's how we discovered the revolution.
Okay, I'm just going to I'm going to continue where I was, but revolution, George Barna, revolution, and this book is not your It was born out of research, which is just an incredible thing.
In fact, when we went to the publisher and we were putting the book together, you know, and Tyndale was very kind about this, but I told him, you know, really, I don't want my name on the cover of the book.
Wow.
I don't want my picture in the book because it's not my revolution. This
right.
is God's revolution. I was just privileged to find out it exists and to tell some people about it. And part of the reason I wanted to do that is it relates to what we were talking about before of you can't go out and say, yeah, I'm a dynamic Christian, and by the way, I don't go to church.
Right.
You know, everybody laughs at you, says, yeah, you're a lunatic. And so the idea here is I wanted to encourage people to say, you know what, if your life really is all about God, even if you don't go to a church, that's okay. You just do what God's putting in your mind and your heart and your soul to do.
Yeah.
You be that person. And so hopefully this will inform others also and give you some more legitimacy in terms of being that kind of a dynamic believer.
Yeah. Okay. Trend one, changing the guard. Trend two, rise of a new life. I'll let you kind of pick one of these. Dismissing the irrelevant.
Quickly, why don't I just tell you what each one is? Just
go ahead.
Real quickly.
Great. Changing the guard.
Changing the guard is that we now have two new generations coming in, the Busters and the Mosaics, all the people under the age of 40, essentially, who are saying, you know what? What's most important to me is that I experience things in life that are authentic and genuine. And when I go to the institutional church, what I see is a lot of programs, a lot of systems, a lot of traditions, but I don't sense the heart of God here. And that's what they're looking for.
This is just, you know, we need to do a documentary on this book.
I would love to.
Okay. Are we going to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is nothing more fascinating than to talk with revolutionaries because their story is so different than what you would typically hear.
Right.
Because everything they're doing is a spiritual act in some way or another.
Okay.
And so you get a different spin on life.
The rise of a new life.
The idea here is where what you've got is
postmodernism, basically.
Yeah, postmodernism, which is a whole different set of values, whole different set of connecting points in people's lives, which therefore allows these people and, in fact, pushes them to rethink church.
You say it this way, there are no more moral absolutes. Truth is whatever you believe it to be. That exists as the prevalent mindset today.
That is. In fact, we do a lot of research on worldviews, and that's the dominant worldview in America.
Dismissing the irrelevant. There's a quality thing in there that...
Absolutely. Here we are in a culture where people are saying, I want the best. I want something that relates to me. Now, we got to be careful about this within church, of course, because we're not just making designer churches, boutique churches, to satisfy people's personal needs. Really, it's about satisfying the heart of God. And we're trying to design and facilitate ministry that will enable that. But we live in a culture that says, you know what, it's okay to customize things.
Right. Okay. This is probably the last one we're going to have time for. Impact of technology.
Well, as we were talking about, communications is so huge. You look at those seven dominant elements of influence, and so much of it is all about communication.
Say the seven that are the dominant influences.
Movies, television, and music, the internet, books, family, and public policy. Those seven elements.
Explain public policy. Law?
Law.
Yeah. Basic governing law.
Right. And people have to deal with it, whether they want to or not.
Correct.
Now, they may choose to abandon it, but they have to deal with it.
Okay. And the if you have been watching this last half hour with George Barna, by the way, that Tyndale did not take your request. Your name is on the cover, if you didn't know that. If
know.
You want to write him and try to get that fixed. But in big red letters right here, George, kind of in the form of a cross.
That's how much influence
yeah.
I have, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a bit of a kind of a cross thing going there, and your name is kind of like that way, and then, okay.
Move on.
George Barna, Revolution. And again, millions of believers have moved beyond. I mean, I'm about to pitch it to Richard Hoag. He's a pastor, okay? Millions of believers have moved beyond the established church. What a handoff for Richard. And chosen to be the church instead. And chosen to be the church instead. So in last 1 minute, we thank God for pastors. Richard, you're going to have to clean this mess up. But millions of believers have moved beyond the established church and chosen to be the church instead. In conclusion, what does that mean?
What it means is this is a whole new era for the Christian church, because now what we've got people who are saying there is no limitations. Wherever I go, I am the church.
Yeah.
And so I need to be thinking about that. I need to be acting like it. I need to be Christ to the world as best I can through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me every moment of every day.